This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now I want Spanish artichoke dip.
French onion.
Okay.
It's the most basic, old school, easy, pick it up at HEB dip, and everybody's like, oh, that's too predictable. Nah, man, give me some Ruffles and French onion dip. Let's go.
Yeah, sometimes consistency consistency is a good thing,
yeah,
right? Consistency can have you in third and long consistently. I don't know.
Well, it can.
There's all sorts of different ways that goes. All right, let's dip into a Thursday.
See what he did there?
It's so cheesy,
but it works. That's a professional right there.
Is it? The pros on the show, of course, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. I'm just Reginald Atatula. Mm-hmm. Let's get this going. You can always get involved with the program on the YouTube and the Twitch. Those are available to you. But shout out to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shout out Sports Radio 610 and football superfans for the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Text line is 713-572-4610. This game that's coming up on Monday night against the Cowboys team that I don't know. We haven't even talked how much. Mm-hmm. Talked about how much like the Cowboys exist as the Death Star, right? And all things evil. In that way, what does this game mean against the Cowboys in those ways? Like, for one, it feels like this possibly could be a changing of the guard when it comes to teams that have existed in prominence in the NFL in Texas.
Yeah.
Like, the Cowboys constantly put forward as America's team and all that, but they're looking shaky. Not even just kind of shaky.
Yeah.
They're looking shaky as an organization. The whole thing seems to be kind of put on a foundation that does not look tenable, whereas this Texas team is finding a foundation to build off of. You've got a young quarterback. You've got a head coach that you believe in. General manager, ownership all seem to make largely good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you view this in a different way, Lopez.
I do. Now, we're all sitting here as, you know, following this team, fans of this team, and like, yeah, this season is not exactly what we thought it would be, right? I mean, we can all agree on that. We thought it would be more.
Is that a blessing in some ways, right? Well, like that the expectations are have us in a place where we can look at a 6-4 season and have the disappointments that we do?
Well, it's funny you say that because like we're all here like, yeah, we expected more. But I don't think anyone thinks the floor is going to fall out of this organization, right? No one.
I mean, I don't think so.
You got the young quarterback. You mentioned that.
Yes.
You got the popular head coach, former player. You know, you mentioned that.
Which is in vogue right now. The former player as head coach.
Which is in vogue. You know, we got the quarterback. We got a running back that's going to be around for a couple of years that we like. You know, at least two more, right?
And that's correct. Yes.
And so you're like, okay, it might not be what we want, but this thing's not going to fall apart. Right? That's where we are?
I think so.
It's not.
It's not going to fall apart.
I don't think it's going to fall apart.
You got the most important part. I think you got the head coach and you got the quarterback.
Okay.
The only hesitance that I display is clearly offensive line, which is a foundational piece of any team, is something that you need to rework.
Sure.
And that's the only thing that gives me pause. But I think if you're being realistic, if you're being honest, there's a lot of things in the right place for this Texans.
I do have pause on D'Amico Ryans if you know the Bobby Slowick conversation. Is he the type of head coach that could make a move that can just try to get somebody else in there, or is he just going to stick to his?
So what you're talking about is play calling, in essence.
Yeah, okay. Right now, I mean. The offense haven't been looking good, and he's a defensive coach, so he's going to have to keep going through these offensive coordinators. Even if Bobby end up getting another job. He's going to have to keep going through this. So I wonder, when is he going to bail? When he know it's time to bail, or he's just going to stick through it?
Okay. Or whenever the next opportunity is to hire somebody in that position, do you make the right hire? Because it seems like they're going to have full responsibility.
Yeah, you don't want to be a Robert Saleh that just kind of get sorry out of luck.
Okay, so I said all that to say this. This conversation that we just had might have been an exact conversation they had in Dallas in 2017. Now, let me put it this way. This isn't like scare tactics or anything like that. I'm looking at this game Monday night as a cautionary tale. A cautionary tale that even though you think long term, hey, we good, you know, let me throw out some things at you guys. So 2016, rookie quarterback, offensive rookie of the year. Threw for 23 touchdowns and just 4 interceptions. Feeling pretty good about that guy. 2023, offensive rookie of the year. Threw for 23 touchdowns, exact same, and 5 interceptions. Just one more.
Better. See, it's nothing alike. I don't know what you're trying to do here.
2017, all right? Not quite, you know. Oh, by the way, in 2023, you went to the playoffs in something of a surprise. In 2016, and you lost in the divisional round.
The Cowboys you're talking about?
Yeah, 2023. Went to the divisional round in something of a surprise and lost. Texans.
Okay.
2017, second year with Dak. Everybody's feeling, all right, here we go. A little bit of a drop-off.
Yeah, that was a step-back season for sure.
A little bit of a drop-off. 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 3,324 yards. Right now, C.J. Stroud on that exact pace. 2,371 yards, 12 touchdowns, 6 interceptions with 7 games remaining. Running back, hey, Zeke, whew, what a stud. Had a huge year in 2016, but in 2017 he missed some games with some injuries and ended up with 983 yards, averaging 98.3 yards a game. Joe Mixon had some injuries, he's played in 7 games, averaging 93.6 yards a game. What I'm saying is, even though you feel pretty good in year two, if you don't have a little sense of urgency across the field from you on Monday night, is a team that felt exactly the same way.
Yeah, and I mean, there's ways in which it clearly is going to differ a little bit. There's some things that you go a little deeper that you could find other potential similarities as well, right? Like, I do wonder, and Dak Prescott was not asked to do nearly as much in his first year, right? Like, it was, he made the right decisions, just don't do too much. Depend on the run game and the line that you have there. The second year, you saw a little bit more asked of him, and that felt like some of the growing pains. But in some ways, C.J. Stroud is having more asked of him. I think also some of that's just because of the lack of being able to pass protect in a way that is sufficient and all those things. Yeah, I think that is fair, right? That is fair to look at these two teams and where the Cowboys were, you know.
Their second year with Dak.
Second year with Dak compared to where the Texans could be if you are if you're not diligent and if you do not push forward. I think that's one of the things, not specifically this, but like the general feeling was, I think, a frustration that existed at the trade deadline. Now, again, this comes back to, it takes two to tango. Were there deals on the table to make address some of the issues that you had? Because I know we did not see another lineman kind of get moved at that time period. But that exists in the frustration. That is where that comes up, is because it feels like you've not pushed forward in that way. And I think a lot of the rhetoric, understandably so, is just kind of stay calm, relax, it'll get better. But it's like, hey, man, there's a clock on this. And one thing you know about the NFL is that we try and project forward so often. Mm-hmm. And in my recent memory, the only team that we've been right about they'll just be here forever is the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen a lot. These things shift so quickly. And even looking in the other direction, right? The Commanders look like a laughingstock of an organization. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you look up and they have 7 wins through 10 games in the season, or 10 weeks in the season. And, you know, they look like they're going to win their division.
Mm-hmm.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, we're sitting here saying it's all going to be fine. Let's get through this year, see how far we can go, and everything's cool. The Cowboys thought that everything would be great, too, because they had a franchise quarterback, a big-time running back. By the way, they also had a better defense that was anchored by a defensive end, a young defensive end named DeMarcus Lawrence, who I think had 14 and a half sacks.
Malik Collins was also on that team.
Malik Collins was on that team. And then you know what happened? They won less than 10 games 3 out of 4 years. What I am saying is
10 or fewer.
10 or fewer. Well, no, including 17. Including 17, they went 18. But either way, like, if you think it's all fine because you have those elements, I think the Cowboys are an example of you have to have urgency always, always with this team. And that falls, you know, on Nick Caserio as much as anyone.
Yeah. Now, you bring this back to Nick Caserio because, I mean, it is his job to put this team together. Now, with this being the case, I do wonder how confident are you that he has that level of urgency and that he will have that level of urgency and get some things done? Because one of the things that I recall about that Cowboys team as coached by Jason Garrett, like, kind of, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily view him as a similar figure as D'Amico Ryans.
No, there are differences.
But he was also one that was kind of just, we do what we do, and not necessarily quick to change. And I remember their offense coordinator, Scott Linehan, was one that kind of had some ideas of being mm-hmm. being predictable, being you know, kind of doing the same things. And I don't know that Bobby Slowick is exactly in those places, but I mean, hey, those are some of the critiques that are coming up. Like, do you believe that Caserio and the brain trust of this will be aggressive in the way that they handle it?
Look, if you ask me, you know, is that going to happen here? My answer is absolutely not. What I'm saying is, like somebody texted, CJ is no Dak. Well, I agree, you know, CJ's better than Dak, but go back to 2016, 2017, what they were saying about Dak. I mean, that was like the dude, not just in Dallas, but around the NFL. All I'm saying is, like, it's enlightening. And like I said, cautionary tale. Hey, you gotta be on top of things here, because there are teams that were in your exact same position, no matter how this season ends, that they ended up not following through the way they should have.
Now, the question I asked for you, I'll attempt to answer here, mm-hmm. the idea of, do you believe the Caserio and the brain trust will be aggressive? And that's a resounding yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's evidenced by the first hint, the first whiff that you got with this Texans team, that they had within them something great.
Yes.
They went and they you know, tried to do everything in their possible will this mm-hmm. previous offseason to put them in a position to contend.
Yeah.
Right. You could talk about the Stephon Diggs addition, Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, right? You can mm-hmm. Joe Mixon, right? Like, they went and they were like, no, we are going to put a lot of things around this to make it go in that way. And I don't think that you do that and then stop, right? I don't think there's half measures within that. I think you have to continue with that mindset and trying to make this a better team. And so I do believe that there is a willingness mm-hmm. to, and a desire to continue going forward. Also, I think, like, the elephant in the room in this is that you don't have a Jerry Jones muddling
That's
up
exactly
all the decisions
making. That's exactly what I was about to say. Like Nick Caserio is the anti-Jerry Jones in terms of thinking, you know, oh, we're good. We're the Cowboys. Everybody's going to want to play here. It's all going to fall in place. You know, we're going to hear from Nick Caserio today, but Nick Caserio is very, you know, so much more thoughtful, so much more, step-by-step planning, et cetera. No, again, you know, just to say, I don't think that's going to happen. What I'm saying is it can happen. And the Cowboys across the field on Monday are the perfect example. I mean, they were, like, down to the number of touchdowns, exactly the same as C.J. Stroud last year. Just one fewer interception than C.J. Stroud in his rookie year. So it's just when I looked at this team, I'm like, how did that happen? Well, you don't want to be in the position where you're like, how did that happen?
And the how did that happen, the cautionary tale on that as well is just not making use of the talents that you had. Because as evidence or as detailed by the 832 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, Dak had a great offensive line when they started too. Yeah, they were in the midst of trying to contend mm-hmm. there before Dak Prescott stepped up. If you remember, Tony Romo was the quarterback there, and then he had the injury that allowed, in fact, there was multiple injuries, I think Kellen Moore, who was a backup at that point, still mm-hmm. playing. And then that put Dak Prescott in that place, which is not quite the same as where the Texans are.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not the same offensive line-wise. But you do have that level of investment. I do think that's where, once we get to the offseason, there's going to be some big things that Nick Caserio has to mm-hmm. deal with. because finding a way to make it so that you are not hamstringing your play caller, mm-hmm. you're not adding a level of difficulty for your offense mm-hmm. because of the personnel issues that exist on yeah. the offensive line, especially when you already have a level of investment, there's going to take some maneuvering. You're going to need some moving and shaking in order mm-hmm. to get with that. And I think that ends up being, if anything, the real obstacle
yeah.
that could set you in a place where you end up, I don't know, not utilizing the talent, not utilizing the opportunity that's available to this Texas team.
Now, as much as you say that, and I agree, and Nick Caserio is the anti Jerry Jones, that's a big check mark in the Texans' favor. There is something that I think Jerry Jones had that the Texans, and specifically D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, don't have that is a little bit worrisome.
Okay.
And that is the loyalty. Like this is a team that has been loyal to certain players almost to a fault. Jerry Jones doesn't do that. I mean, certain players he might, but like he's unafraid to just, you know, move pieces, bring guys in. His coaching might be a little too loyal, but that's going to change this year. But what I'm saying is the Texans, as much as they're loyal, maybe that's part of the cautionary tale. You can't be, man. You can't be.
No, and that's where it's tough, because I know that the idea of loyalty in sports pops up in various mm-hmm. times where, you know, you want a hometown discount, former player, and all these things. It just isn't. It isn't built to have no. that loyalty within it. And it's one of the things that's frustrating at times, because it is still a human business. And so you want those human pleasantries to extend to that space. Mm-hmm. But it isn't built to operate that way if you ultimately want the results that you need. And so, yeah, I think that. And that's the tough part about it, is you got good people in that building,
mm-hmm.
right? If there's criticism that you can levy, fine. But they're one of the things that I don't think you can say about anybody in that Texas building is that they're like bad folks, which hasn't always been the case. And it's one of the, you know, I guess, resounding achievements is that you look up and you go, hey, man, D'Amico Ryan seems like a great guy. Bobby Slowick seems like a good dude, right? Mm-hmm. Nick Caserio seems like a solid dude, right? Like all these guys. And you can run even further down the list sure. on those and get there. But ultimately, I think you still have to find the balance there. And I believe them capable of that. But as of now, their track record shows that there might be a little too much loyalty. There might be a little bit yeah. too long to make shifts in the way that they do this. I think that is the long term mm-hmm. for what you're seeing here as you talk about the Cowboys as a cautionary tale. I think also the cautionary tale that exists in the short term is you got to handle your business and beat teams that you're supposed to beat. Mm-hmm. Like the Cowboys currently, where they are, I think there's a lot of frustration for this season in Dallas with where they are, because yeah. they had teams that were capable of winning. They had three straight 12-win seasons mm-hmm. over the previous 3 years, and they lost early on in the playoffs against teams that they should have yeah. been able to handle up well. And leading into those playoff games, they lost games that they should have been. I think that's the frustration that exists with this Texas mm-hmm. team, is that are they beating teams that they should? And then are they playing above that to beat teams that maybe they shouldn't?
Right.
And as of right now, it doesn't feel like that. Yeah, at the very least, this week, you got to beat the team that you should.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, the takeaway for me is, as much as, you know, obviously we have much more confidence in Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, I personally think C.J. Stroud is a much better quarterback than Dak Prescott. But, you know, you go back in time, they were pretty high on Dak Prescott. But what my takeaway is if you think it's just going to happen just because, that's what the Cowboys thought. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the Cowboys thought that.
That's what we're gearing up for. We're gearing up for.
You gotta compare them to the Cowboys, man.
Well, I just laid it out for you, Figgy. I just laid it out for you.
Yeah, that didn't feel great, I'm not going to lie. But I do have a level of confidence that this organization yes. won't fall victim to the same thing that the Cowboys do. If for no other reason, then, hey, man, you're not dealing with the dictator at the top who has, is disillusioned in some ways, in yes. the ways that he goes about
you things. You kind of got the opposite, to be honest.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you could argue and say the Menares might give a little too much power to people.
Mm-hmm. In the past, for sure, but it feels yeah. like they've empowered at least
competent.
They are way hands off compared to Jerry Jones.
Oh, for sure, compared to Jones.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Thursday here in H-Town. Coming up next, I found this conversation interesting. It was going on, I wanted to bring it to the show. In sports, do you prefer parity or dominance? 713-572-4610. Let us know what you think. We'll talk about it next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.